Hello and welcome to today's podcast. It's our great pleasure to have with us today Vicky Swindon from The Print Company, who are based in Warrington. And we're going to have a chat about her amazing homegrown digital print business and life in the print community. Vicky, welcome.
Hi Debbie, nice to talk to you.
Oh, it's good to have you on. Good to have you on air. It's great. It's really good.
Thank you.
So, just going backwards a little bit, let's start at the very beginning. How did you begin your journey into digital printing?
What took me there? Innocence, arrogance, and no sense whatsoever. I came out of a horrible divorce and wanted to work for myself. My family were entrepreneurs, and my butt didn't fit in anybody else's pigeonhole, so I thought, right, okay, I'm going to do something a bit different. I didn't particularly want to do a startup. I wanted to run a business, train staff, work with young people. Well, the sort of, I suppose, things that we now describe as ethical. 10 years ago, we just said this is what we wanted to do. And I went to buy a t-shirt printing business.
Okay.
And I really didn't enjoy printing t-shirts. So I then thought, I cast around as for something else I could print that wasn't so size orientated.
So restrictive. Yeah.
And wasn't such a flooded market. And yeah, and very, very restrictive. A really flooded market. You know, costs are being driven down. And I thought, okay, what else can I do? Well, my family had run hotels, events, restaurants, bars, pubs, pop music things and what have you.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, hang on a minute. I know about events. I know about how to do that. What might be something that could be used at an event that would work with what I'm doing? And I came up with this notion of these tablecloths with a big logo printed on the front of them. And for the first 5 years of the business, that's really all we did. I sort of got up on day one and thought, right, okay, how am I going to sell this? So in those days, I could still build a website, rudimentary as it was.
Yeah.
And I invested £2,500 in an ancient printing machine. And just sort of got on with it, really. Built a website on Wednesday, launched it on Friday with £10 of Google AdWords.
Fabulous.
And it literally was like that. You know, here's some pictures of tablecloths that I think you might like. Here's how much we're going to charge you for them. And it wasn't an online shop or anything. It was really just a portal.
When was that, Vicky?
That was in 2010.
Okay.
So right from the point of view of the northwest of England, right in the middle of a financial crisis.
Yeah, it was.
You know, I couldn't raise money. I had three children with me and my wife Kat, and we were living in rented accommodation, and everything was, to say the least, difficult.
a challenging opportunity.
Exactly. Yeah. And of my £2,500, on day one, the local council took £750 for rent on a little building.
Oh.
So I was looking at my money disappearing, and I had a £4.99 mobile phone. literally just started phoning some people that I'd used to work with in events and what have you. And my £10 Google AdWords served me well. And my first clients came to me on the first day.
Fantastic.
What
a great story.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say we haven't looked back, because, you know, one of the things I often say about being a business is it's a lot like snakes and ladders. Mm-hmm. You seem to get up to the top of a ladder, and then all of a sudden there's a snake there waiting for you, and you sail back down again super quick. But we grew very, very fast. The first 3 years, we grew very fast just selling tablecloths. And we found a way of doing them where, rather than having to be dye sublimated, we were buying in ready coloured tablecloths and printing them as you would a t-shirt, either with a screen print or with a large vinyl print.
Okay.
And from there, we were working with digital print onto vinyl at that stage, in wide format, I suppose you would say. The prints were always about a metre wide. which was quite unusual. And it took us about 12 or 18 months to find a soft enough print base for it to drape beautifully with a tablecloth.
Yeah.
So we were quite quite disruptive and and having to be very innovative.
But it was difficult then. It was difficult then to find the substrates that you need.
Totally, yeah, totally. Was. And, you know, it wasn't an industry that I'd been in very long. And I was ringing sort of suppliers and saying, yes, the thing is, I'm not just making a badge for a T-shirt or something that's 30 centimetres across the shoulder. I want something that I can shoot up to a metre that might be half a metre high. And, you know, it's got to be manipulative. It's got to be something that we can work with, something that's soft and washable and phthalate free, if you can make it so. And, yeah. You know, we were fussy to start with. But yeah, the first 3 years we grew like Topsy, and we went from three of us to nine of us.
Wow.
In the first 3 years, which was very shocking. And looking back on it, what I know now, was that I might have controlled that a little better. But we were always in the position where we just said, well, we won't say no to people unless there's some really valid reason. We were delivering faster than anybody else. We were working quicker than anybody else. We were much more reliable than anybody else. Because there was always that old thing, you know, whenever I used to be a print buyer and they'd say, oh, you'll never get a print on that, love.
Like you say, growing at that yeah. speed is difficult to keep a hold of resources sometimes, isn't it?
Totally. I always felt like I was pushing an elephant up a hill and then suddenly it would go over the crest of the hill and I'd have to run down the other side trying to catch its tail.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was hard but exciting.
Oh, it's an inspiring story though. What inspires you now with your stuff, etc., having gone through that journey?
Well, I think the thing that I really found was that, as I said, my parents have been very successful in Warrington with hospitality business. So we based ourselves in Warrington. I feel quite strongly towards the town, and it's a funny area because we've got the M62 corridor with the IKEA, Gemini, huge Marks and Spencers and so on.
Yeah.
And we almost join up with Liverpool on one side and Manchester on the other.
Yeah.
Because we've got that, everybody says, oh, there's no unemployment in Warrington, but Warrington town centre is very different. And there was a fair amount, and still is a fair amount of unemployment here. So I thought, well, if we base ourselves close to the town centre, we would be able to draw on what I assumed was going to be younger people.
Yep.
Although that hasn't always been the case. And we'd draw on younger people and we'd say to them, look, you might not already be a printer, you might not already be doing accounts, you might not already be doing sales, but come and join us and we will teach you how to do those things and we'll teach you as formally as we can ourselves. And we started searching around for apprentice opportunities, and because there were no digital printing apprenticeships, I think we've managed to get one now.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Back then, sort of 8 years ago, yeah. 7-8 years ago, there really weren't. A young guy rang me and said, he'd seen something on the internet about us as being screen printers, and he wanted to be a screen printer. He was already screen printing in his bedroom and making T-shirts. And
is this Dan?
This is Danny, yeah.
Yeah, he's so curious, yeah. And you can see,
amazing.
And he's definitely addicted to textiles now, isn't he?
Oh, totally. And he just kind of said, can I come and screen print with you? And I was like, well, yes, come and screen print with us. The poor guy was working in Hobbycraft, selling pens and paper and not enjoying himself at all.
Yeah.
So he came to work with us and we had some interesting times where we were trying to get screen prints onto things that just wouldn't, and you know, we learned fast. We spilled a lot of ink.
Yeah,
we walked it all around the building. You know,
that's called pushing the boundaries of production.
It was. It certainly was. We'd be sitting here at 10 o'clock at night, going, "Why is this not working? Why? What is our problem? What are we doing wrong?" And it would turn out that we hadn't quite burned out the screen cleanly enough, and you know, all those sort of things.
Yeah.
And we taught him how to do the digital work. and he's now our production manager at less than 30 years of age. So, you know, yes, they still take coaching. It's not like I've been able to take on somebody with a great deal of experience. But it is much more inspiring for me, much more exciting for me to be able to have people here who've come in from nothing, and we're able to show them the way. And even to the point where we entered the workplace pension scheme 2.5 years early. So because we'd such a young staff, I felt that they probably needed to learn about some savings and what have you. So that's the kind of way we roll, really.
That's very good. That's excellent. It's interesting, isn't it? Because there's still a huge skill gap in the digital area. I've been working in it for a long time, so have you now. And it's quite amazing, really, as you say, that the apprenticeship schemes, etc., are very scarce on the ground. And yet, as an industry, we have to encourage the youth and the next generation to join us in this journey. It's the most incredible industry right now. It's so innovative. I think as an industry,
well, it is, and it's so cutting edge. And I mean, particularly things like the, you know, in the fashion side of things, where literally we're getting to the stage where we can go and design our own shirts. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to make it, and it'll be with us by the end of the week.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's. It's extraordinary. I find it extraordinarily exciting.
Yeah, it is.
I wish I had a huge money pot to go and buy every machine available. You know, for us, it is about being as innovative as possible.
Yeah.
While still keeping a business running, because you can't let it run away with you. And it is easy to lose a business these days where there isn't a lot of financial support and all that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
But in its own way, that now inspires me. I've just been doing an MBA, a Master's in Business Administration at university, as a sort of gift to myself, really.
Good for you.
And it's really given me loads more ideas how to do things. But one of the things that has come up every time in almost every session at the university, and now as part of my dissertation, is how difficult it is for women to take their business plan to potential funders and for the funders to say yes. You know, there were some figures that came out a couple of months ago, and it is something ridiculous, like only 1% of women are successful in sourcing funding to run their businesses.
But how can that be if it's a business model? Surely it's judged on its merits, not on the you know, the sex of the person that applies. That's crazy.
Absolutely. It is crazy, isn't it? It's abysmal. So, you know, that has been something that's made it a difficult journey, because it is very difficult to get funding these days.
It is, yeah.
You know, back in the 80s, if you said you wanted, you know, you had a business idea and you wanted it funding, or you wanted a new house or a larger mortgage or anything, the bank used to come and visit you and bring you flowers.
They were your best friend, absolutely.
Weren't they, though? And now you can't get hold of anybody. I find that frustrating in the extreme.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, as I've grown with the business, that's something I do spend a lot of time working on and trying to advocate for women in business. Women in print is a whole other thing, because we are still quite unusual. And there are, I would say, some men who don't find us easy to work with. I don't mean within our own work environment,
yeah.
But you know, when we go out to the wider market and what have you, you know, that who's doing it with you, what's his name, you know? And I'm a bit like, there isn't a his. There isn't a him. We're all her.
But isn't that the most amazing thing about the technology, is that it is so disruptive, and it has completely democratized the print arena, hasn't it? So that
I would say so.
Yeah.
If only for the fact that you look at the physical side of it, you're not having to lift things in the way you were, or operate huge pieces of machinery in the way that you did, which were traditionally male-orientated tasks.
Yep.
You've got a very, very clean process now. And, you know, apart from us walking pink ink everywhere back in the screen printing days, you know, the building is... We could be a technology company.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose to a great degree, we are a technology company.
Well, that's right. You know, as you say, your broadband speed is just as important as so many other things in the day these days.
That's right.
Yeah. And
when that, it certainly is.
When that goes down, everything stops, regardless of what you're
doing. Doesn't it, though?
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Yeah, yeah. It's very, very shocking.
Yeah, server problems, technical issues. You now are a textile business with an inbuilt IT department.
Yes, yeah, and we are, and we spend vast quantities more on IT and digital marketing,
yep,
than we do on any other sort of advertising and marketing.
Absolutely.
Because without that, nothing works these days.
Absolutely.
And that's great. That's given us the opportunity to do something which I love, which is to take on younger people. I've got two apprentices in the building at the moment who are 19 and 20 respectively. They've been with us a year, just about to qualify off their apprenticeships, and because the way we work is very collaborative with the gang, and they are a gang and a really, you know, a great eclectic bunch of folk. If we've got problems to solve, I don't sit here and say you will do it like that. Mm-hmm. Neither do my managers. We get together and we say, hang on a minute, how are we going to get around this? Has anybody got any ideas? And invariably, it's the youngsters that come up with the better ideas, because they've been brought up digitally. They've been, you know, the computer is their friend, their phone is their friend. They are, you know, they're not...
They're natives, aren't they?
They are natives. That's a really good way of putting it.
Yeah.
And they're not troubled by the fact that they might make an error, because they can go back and delete it.
Yes.
God, I remember starting off as a secretary. I used so much liquid paper. It's a wonder that the blinking paper didn't just fall apart, you know.
No, you're absolutely right. That's the incredible creativity of digital, isn't it? The fact that everything's so quick and you can make those minor adjustments in real time now, utilising all the different softwares, etc.
That's right. And that kind of agility for small firms like us is absolutely key. Because unless we can jump on things, we get our quotes out quicker than anybody else that I know. You know, if we don't do that, these days you don't get the job.
Yeah, literally.
Because that's
an hour.
That is all. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
That is all part of the sustainability of the business.
You're right, but that agility also sets you aside, doesn't it? Really, and I think you've mentioned later on, like the level playing field. Really, having those tools and at your fingertips allows you to be a player.
Yes. Yeah. If there wasn't Google and there wasn't the sustainable digital backup that we have and the technology that we use, a company like mine would just never have got started, because you couldn't have put somebody on the road to go out selling these sort of products at the value that they were, because you just wouldn't, there's just no way you would have covered enough ground.
Yeah, not enough margin.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And the margin has diminished. In the last 5 years, I would say, the margin has diminished massively. As competitors have come online, you know, and seen what we're doing and thought, oh, we'll have a piece of that. So we have to work twice as hard for half as much margin, you know? Yeah.
Would
that isn't easy.
Yeah. Would you agree, Vicky, then, that I think in the early days, there was a perception that there'd be a higher price point for digital, but at the end of the day, to the end user and the consumer, it's the same product. It's just produced in a different way. So as you say,
absolutely,
there's already an established price point system in the textile marketplace.
Yes, I would say exactly that. And some areas of it, as we've moved, because we've got this sister company, ThatCat Limited, where we're printing on roll-to-roll stuff for the fashion, for interior design, stage wear and what have you. That is a really interesting set of price points for me. Really interesting, because that's different to our promotional products that we are printing out of the print company.
Yep.
We very much set the bar for those because we virtually invented the product. But you and I have had this conversation quite publicly about sampling.
Absolutely, we have, haven't
you
we?
Know, and we're, you know, people are have high expectations of your wish to give away your product.
Yeah, it's
and to, you know,
there has to be a change of culture within the buying community too.
I think, do you know, I felt that when we went to a recent exhibition. We did Make It British down in Islington at the Design Centre
a
couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we had a fantastic response to our stall. I think we spoke to about 200 people, which is just magnificent, and have had some great feedback from a lot of them since then. And we were speaking to everybody from sort of Prada to Gucci to Jasper Conran to Joe Bloggs, who makes men's underwear in particular designs. And their own expectations of being working within a British market, onshoring everything, which is why I think a lot of them were there, because I think they do a lot of offshoring. Well, we know they do. They're looking at bringing things onshore, which is good for the market.
Yep.
But they're trying, and bless them, I did feel that they weren't unrealistic, because they know they're not going to get Asia pricing in Europe and in the UK. It's just not going to be the same. But they will get a product that they could say to you on Monday, I'm really stuffed, I need 20 meters and I need it by Thursday, can you do it? Yes, you can. You've not got to wait 3 months for it. But I really felt there was a lot of people out there fact-finding for onshoring work.
Oh, great.
And it's very hard to know what the price point is going to end up floating at for that.
Yes, exactly. But there are also so many economies for them within that business model too, aren't there? With no huge stock holdings, etc., etc.
That's right. And that's right.
Yeah, speed to market, carriage, there are 1,000 different savings within that price model. As you say, that...
And huge accountability. You know, they can turn up on my doorstep today, which I'm delighted about, absolutely delighted about, because it makes such a difference working with people where you can meet the people.
Yep.
You know, but you can't possibly fly to China today and turn up on somebody's doorstep today.
Yep.
You know, so I like that. I'm very excited about that, because sometimes I think we get a little bit stir crazy. Because we don't meet very many of our clients, because the work is done digitally over the email or whatever, the joy of meeting clients never goes away for me. Never, ever goes away. That's one of my great inspirations. There's nothing nicer than somebody saying, oh, look at that. Oh, there's my stuff on your machine.
Yeah.
Oh, can I have one of these? And, that's a lovely feeling.
I find it really interesting, actually. And I think that as we move to a more sustainable agenda, we have to have, the only way it works is through collaboration and a transparent supply chain. And as you say, controlling that transparency to regulation, and that's or certification, and those are the two really key words here. It's harder. It's much, much harder to deliver in a really fast, speedy time frame. Very, very hard for huge conglomerates to work in that time frame where they're delivering products into store on a 7-14 day turnaround. So I think that's why, for me, that's why we see this huge swing towards reshoring, which, you know, at the end of the day is fantastic news for businesses such as yourself in the textile industry, worldwide, really. I think sustainability alongside accountability is actually going to make huge changes in our industry.
I think so. And one of the things I really, you know, when I talk about sustainability, I don't just talk about whether something's made with bamboo or whether it's a recycled product.
Yep.
It is a sustainability of a business. It does not necessarily have to be about your bottom line and your profit. We work on balanced scorecards in our business. And we define what we believe our key performance indicators are, and they will be everything from getting some more people through training, bringing in new staff, rationalizing where we're up to with you know, the buildings that we've got.
Uh-huh.
Everything is balanced. Did we enjoy doing something?
Yep.
Did we enjoy it? Because if we didn't enjoy it, or it was tremendously difficult, and we've then put that down to R&D, and we review that and say, in actual fact, that was a horrible job. We don't like doing that.
Yeah,
we're not going to do it again.
Yeah, we either change it or don't do it again. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that for me is sustainability in business. The profit thing, I was listening to an economist the other day on the radio, and the profit thing is really got to be looked at, because our capitalist system is very, very wobbly these days. And, you know, we know that trickle-down economics don't work. We've got this incredible... you know, the rich 1% and the rest of us in the miasma just about getting by, And I genuinely think it will have to change. And, you know, one thinks of the French Revolution. Are we going to have a revolution? where so, you know, somebody says, this can no longer be the case. We can't treat people like this. And so that's one of the things that we've always really tried hard here, is to make a sort of work nirvana. So that, you know, not only are we enjoying dealing with our clients, we're enjoying dealing with each other. We like our workplace.
Yep.
You know, we're not Google. We haven't got a slide instead of stairs. That would be wonderful. We haven't got sleep pods. There's an old sofa in the back, you know. I always call it the sick room, because if one of the staff are poorly, then I suddenly become mother and start handing out junior aspirin, you know.
Oh, but you have a great team. That's brilliant.
And we genuinely do.
The ethic, isn't it, as well? And the mantra of your business model too, really.
Very much so.
And you know, that passes on to your clients too. That's why you build such a strong business.
I think so. And I think the more we go out and meet our clients, which for us is still only really a possibility at exhibitions and what have you, so that we get a large hit.
Okay.
A lot of bang for our buck, if you like.
So do you think you might extend your exhibition budget then, if you enjoyed Make It British?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yes. Yeah. I think that is our very best way of moving forward, because people then see the whites of your eyes and you get the opportunity to tell the story.
Yep.
And the story is becoming important. And, you know, we've hoped this for a long time, not just us, a lot of businesses, a lot of people have hoped that it's important that you are employing young people. It's important that you're training people. It's important that you're looking for sustainable products, natural products or polyester products, whichever in our industry is going to work for you. It's important that you care about that.
Yep. The DNA of your business, not just the price point.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I think there has to, as you say, there has to be a swing with a change with the buyers, and that's going to come, I think, the next, you know, three to five years, and I think it'll come along with certification and regulation, I think, as well too.
Well, funnily enough, one of my clients on the print company side of things has recently set up SMETA audits. And you see this more and more frequently, that yes, you know, we can be members of SEDEX, or we can have an Ocotex tag against us, or we can do our ISO as we've done, and all that sort of thing. But now the clients themselves are saying, hang on a minute, what we've done is we've talked to, in this case, SMETA, and you know, will you be willing to be audited by us, with us, to give us all a stronger base to work from? And there's lots and lots and lots of that going on.
Yeah, definitely. I think as for some of the larger businesses, the big buyers as well, they're already being judged by their environmental footprint. So they have to put together a supply chain that brings the positive impact for the environment.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Debbie. We can't go the other way, can we?
No.
You know, as human beings, what we've seen recently.
Absolutely.
In
the notes prior to chatting online, you said that sustainable substrates is one of the first big question at the exhibition.
Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. What is it you've got? And in fact, so what I didn't do, that we did our stand quite unusually at that exhibition, and we did it all in white. I didn't take any printed fabric with me at all. I just took the fabric.
Okay, cool.
And we hung it up like bunting, and we were like, look, hang on a minute. You need to understand these polyesters that we work on, and that is where we generally do most of our work.
Yep.
On poly products, and here is one that is 100% recycled, here is another that's 45% recycled, and these things are coming through real thick and fast,
which is great,
and it's got to happen.
Yes.
You know, you can't have the water use of dealing with other inks on natural products. It's just obscene.
It is, yeah, but it's, you know, the textile, aside from the print industry, which is incredibly sustainable and, you know, massive disruption there, in that a digital print, for example, uses 5% of the water, as you just said, compared to any of the other inksets. But the actual textile industry at the beginning of this whole supply chain is starting to push out these sustainable substrates, not the metrages that we need yet. But I was reading something the other day about biodegradable polyesters, where the actual biochemistry is inducted at the very beginning when they make the from the PET, when they actually spin that yarn from the polyester right at the beginning, so that when it gets to landfill, it will biodegrade.
Yes, it's got to happen.
It's that clever chemistry built into all of the products that we use that, as you say, collectively with so many other things, hit this word sustainable, which is one tiny word in a huge marketplace.
Well, we've signed up to the United Nations 17 Sustainable Goals.
Great.
Because, you know, and we're already good on about 14 or 15 of them just by being us.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and that was always something that was quite interesting. Yeah, it's just quite extraordinary when I was looking at the goals myself and saying, well, actually, we already do this. Actually, we already do that.
Fabulous.
We had a similar situation when we did our ISO. We did an ISO in 4 days, not because I thought, oh my God, we've only got 4 days to do it, but because our systems were already really, really efficient and really tight, simply by the fact that we cared so much that for quality control, that if we hadn't sort of set up those systems, we would never have had the quality control in the first place. And it's everything, we like to be accountable all the way back. So if you come to me in 3 years' time and say, well, 3 years ago you did this royal blue something, I've got a piece of that royal blue something from 3 years ago in your job sheet, and I will be able to match it to what we have now. You know, we've always been very, very keen on that kind of quality control, and that kind of, it's important. It's, you know, there's no point in you setting yourself up in your business and us letting you down. That's not the way it should be. We should be all working together.
No, you're right, it's good.
But
it's
sustainability, yeah. Again,
yeah,
you know,
it's best practice, isn't it, at the end of the day, like you say. And it's, you know, throughout all of the levels and different departments in your business, you know, you are, as you said, you know, in order to get those accreditations with such speed, you've got to be already highly organized.
Yes,
so,
yeah.
And that's, as you
although
say,
you wouldn't say, it's a good thing you're not filming me, because you wouldn't say that if you looked at my desk. There's a lot of different piles on my desk today. Oh. And it's Wednesday, which means that Mel, our fabulous cleaning lady, is in. And she comes and stands over me while I tidy my desk.
Oh. Well, it sounds like you're pushing all those pieces of paper in the right direction anyway, Vicky.
I hope so.
Taking up so much of your time, I think we've just moved to we've actually scooted through all of our questions pretty much, and I guess a great note to end on would be what do you think's next for the print company? What's inspiring you right now? What would you like to see happen in the next few years?
I want to understand the life cycle of the products we use. As we've just been saying, you know, biodegradable polys, it's got to happen.
Yep.
We would like to run higher profits because one is supposed to. But other than that, I think you will see us just doing more of what we do. We'll be out there on the exhibition circuit making more friends. And if we can, we're a little bit hogbound by the buildings that we're in. We've managed to go across 3 units at the moment, and there's only half a unit empty near us just presently for us to move into. So I don't anticipate that we'll be taking on another 10 staff, maybe another 3 in the next 3 to 5, and just enjoying what we're doing.
Oh, that's great. Vicky, thank you.
Of course, I'm getting to be an old lady now. I've got to think about it, haven't I?
No. No, not at all. Vicky, thank you so much for your time today. It's such an inspiring story, the print company. And I'll make sure that everything, all the credits are in the URL for the podcast. And I'll also link us to, as well, our Q&A session, which we did yesterday.
Super.
So that our listeners can find your company and join your inspiring story.
Thanks, Debbie.
Oh, fabulous. Thank you so much for your time today, Vicky. And let's
take care.
See you, and let's catch up and have another great conversation soon.
Thank you. Look forward to it.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.